Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. 9:05 on the clock. Have your host, James J. here. I am joined by Seth Habhager.
Good morning, everyone.
And Beth Habhager.
Good morning.
You guys having a great day. I hope you all are out there. Mm-hmm. We've got a good one going on here in the studio. Mm-hmm. Friday Eve. Get you ready for the weekend. It's a Halloween weekend.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff going on this weekend.
Some good stuff going on here, man. And some good stuff to start off the hour, because we're starting it off the way... I would say that if you did... if you looked at the history of our morning show, especially since I've taken over, the 9 o'clock hour, we have started with this person more than any other by far and away. Miss Dolly Parton.
Of course.
Someone in another country posted a small alecky question on Reddit the other day asking Americans to name something good about the USA. And one of the top responses was Dolly Parton.
Yes.
It's funny. There's these, you know, we have freedom of speech, freedom of religion. You know, there's a couple of other things like that in there, mm-hmm. that in the mix, like just Dolly Parton. Like,
yeah.
all these things. It's hilarious. And also accurate. Also accurate. Yeah. Someone wrote, Dolly Parton, obviously, and thousands of people have liked it. Mm. Only a few answers received more upvotes than that one.
Hmm.
Wow.
They include America's 63 national parks, the over 9,000 public libraries we have, the diversity of our people,
there you go.
And the scenery. And the fact that most restaurants give out free ice water, which isn't always the case in other countries.
That's true.
I didn't know that.
I had no
idea that. But yeah, that's apparently a luxury that we do here.
Yeah. Huh. Don't take it for granted, people.
It's a little weird that Dolly is currently trailing ice water. but it's only by a handful of votes. Oh, it's not by that much.
So everybody get on your Twitter.
Get on Reddit there, yeah.
Dolly Parton is even better than ice water. I mean, that's really impressive. That's very... And I have to say, this brings me back to one of my older jokes that's becoming more and more realistic than as it goes on. I have the perfect candidates for the presidency. I have the perfect people. Dolly Parton as president.
Mm-hmm.
And you can flip these two if you like.
It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. But Dolly Parton as president or vice president, and Tom Hanks as president or vice president.
Absolutely. Right?
But not Tom Hanks. Not the actual Tom Hanks. I want the actor Tom Hanks playing a president.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
We all know he's one of the greatest actors of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He will kill it. He will be amazing as our president or vice president, either or. I don't care at this point.
Right.
Just put them both in office. Let them figure it out. And I almost guarantee you the three-term president will come back. Those are our presidents. I almost think that would come back.
Oh my gosh!
This is my evidence. This is evidence
Absolutely.
A I have right here. Like America has spoken. We want more Dolly. God bless her.
I think she's fast becoming the new Betty White.
The
universally loved person, because there are some real similarities between the
Absolutely.
Two of them. They speak. They're honest.
Yep.
They're honest people. They're willing to say what a lot of people aren't willing to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dolly is very, I mean, she's very open about why she dresses the way she does, why she does the things she does. She's very open about it, and she doesn't care. She's like, no, this is what I want to do, and this is what I'm doing. What's more American than that?
Well,
seriously.
They both do it in a way that's not offensive to anybody.
Exactly.
You know, it's one thing to be honest. It's the way that you present your honesty,
right.
It can be a challenge. And they both are able to do it with just love and care and grace and forgiveness. And just, they make you feel good when they're being honest.
And self-deprecation.
Yeah.
They're always willing to say, you know, their own silliness. They're willing to point at their own self. Oh, look at that. You know, that kind of thing.
I'll never forget somebody asking Dolly Parton about her wigs once, and the interviewer was kind of trying to embarrass her. It was a long time ago. I was a kid when I saw this. And what she looked him right in the eye and straightened her wig and said, honey, I don't care. Like, I don't mind. Something like that she responded with, or something like that. It was just like, oh, I like this person. I like that. But, Betty White... you can't play a character like she did on The Golden Girls without being awfully self-deprecating, being able to laugh at yourself, while also being incredibly intelligent.
Yes.
Yeah.
You look at Woody Harrelson on Cheers or any of those times. Only intelligent, good actors that can be self-deprecrating seem to play those characters the best.
They're all playing Midwesterners, too.
I didn't think of that.
What does Hollywood think of Midwesterners?
Yeah, that's they've made that pretty clear.
Yeah.
But both Dolly and Betty were very great philanthropists and really about helping other people. I think look at what Dolly's done with her Imagination Library. It's just amazing.
We thought we understood how much Betty White did for animals and that cause, and then we see, you know, hear so much more that she did after her passing that she was doing like 20 times what we thought she was. Mm-hmm. And that's a great point to make.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think that's part of what made them so lovable. All the things you guys have mentioned, but the latter parts there, the self-deprecation, being able to laugh at yourself, the giving so much, especially it's not as if both of them have had nonstop careers. They've had dips in their careers.
Exactly.
They've had times where they were faded out of the public eye and stuff, and still doing these things, still doing those causes and that. So that's just as impressive to me.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to from a far out person like Betty White to the far out in space.
Okay.
Great.
It's a bad reach. It's a bad reach. It was a reach on my
side. Segway King.
Yeah, man. It was tested there. A study found, this is interesting, one of the favorite things about this study is the website that did it, because its mission is to get more people to wear glasses. Myvision.org. A very good site and everything. There are so many people out there struggling with their sight that don't even realize it. That's a site that's really good for it. Also, a really good site to talk UFOs.
What?
MyVision.org commissioned a study to find out which states have the most UFO sightings.
All right.
And just by sheer numbers, it's California by far and away.
Yeah, makes sense.
But that's because it has the most people as well.
Right.
Right.
If you look at per capita numbers, the real answer is Idaho.
Idaho.
Oh, I'm not surprised it's west.
Yeah. Did not have that one on my bingo. Did not have that one up. It's also the top up and coming state for UFOs. All the UFOs are going to Idaho.
Oh, yeah. Now, it's the place to be.
It's like totally the cool place to be if you're if and an alien. You got to go to Idaho. Oh, why would you go to South Dakota or Wyoming or something like that? All the hip people will be in Idaho.
Yeah.
Oh, alien hipsters. That's what we need, right?
Yeah. I love the idea of aliens coming to this planet.
Yeah.
And they're everything we are disgusted by. They're like how it used to be back in the 80s and 70s and stuff, where Russia would take a lot of our things that we were really cool here, and like 20 years later, they get them. You know, that kind of. I love the idea of UFOs. They have the power to be able to get here, but their fashion sense is like from the 70s and stuff. They're coming up in Belmont. We have to fit in with the humans. We have to fit in with
the
humans.
Well, that's the only information they've gotten from the planet, right? Right. That's what when we were really putting things out into
the
universe.
70s, yeah. That's what you like, right?
Yeah.
I'm writing the sketch in my head.
That might be a movie, actually.
There you
I don't
go.
Know.
Pretty good.
Movie script.
The 10 states with the most sightings per 100,000 people are Idaho, New Hampshire, Montana, Vermont, New Mexico, Maine, Oregon, Wyoming, Washington, and Connecticut.
Wow.
All over the map.
All over the map. Except the Midwest.
I was going to bring that up, Seth. I thought that's weird.
I do have actually one thing to say about the fact that it's Idaho. There is a small connection with the history of UFOlogy. The modern, what's called the modern era of UFOs, started in 1947 when Kenneth Arnold, who was a pilot in Washington State, was flying, I believe, to Idaho.
Oh.
And that's where he first sighted what he called flying saucers. And that's how we got the name flying saucers.
Wow.
That was the first big reported sighting. And that's what started the whole UFO craze was in 1947 after that. So in that area up there in the northwest of the country, it's kind of a ground zero for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
Oh. I also feel like these aliens, I mean, nothing against Idaho. I've never even been there. So I don't know how great it is and all that, but I've met people from Idaho and they were wonderful. So it seems like a great place.
My sister was born there.
But I mean, hey, aliens, can I interest you in New York or LA or
Idaho,
Chicago
really?
Or how about Madison?
Why does it have to be the United States? How often are they spotted in other countries that we're not aware of?
It is. That is always funny to me. That is interesting because it's not as if, the other countries that have had UFO sightings. Mm-hmm. But nothing like what we do here. But we've created a business out of it.
It's
exactly.
It's a culture.
Both of you are right on that one. That part, the culture part, you're right. I didn't even think of it that way, Beth. But yes, that's a good way to put it. It has become that.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
If it was like the biggest, if they were going to land at like the biggest city, that'd probably be like Mexico City, I think, is the biggest city in the world.
Right.
There you go.
The study also found 78% of Americans think that aliens exist, 1 in 10 think that they've seen a UFO before, and 37% think that the U.S. government has already made contact with extraterrestrials.
37?
That is an incredibly high number.
That is a high
for something
number.
Like that.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
That's almost a little bothersome. It's almost a little like, really? Like,
yeah.
I am not a foolish man. I have no doubt that there are things that our government has kept from us for whatever reasons. I'm not going to dive too deep into that one, but I'm sure that there have been things.
Right.
But then there's just stuff that is just downright silly to me. And the whole argument of why they would have hidden this is that the American people couldn't have handled it. Go back and watch like what we were doing with commercials and TV shows in the 50s. Look at that stuff. Look at Howdy Doody for a second. Lamb Chop. I mean, there were so many fun, weird characters back then. Look at the Halloween costumes back then for another thing.
Yeah. That's,
we could handle weird for a long time in this country. Is it far fetched thought to think that there could be people higher ups that could think we couldn't handle this? Sure,
probably.
Mm-hmm. You know, politicians have been out of touch for a long time. You know, and it didn't just happen in modern ages,
right?
But I find that a little harder to believe, especially when you look at one thing that you know does seem evident. Oftentimes, things are happen to like kind of skate over other bigger issues or cover up things in a loose sense of that word cover up.
Vast conspiracy.
We're going to fire a billion people and then, hey, free ice cream. Wait a second. Rewind for a second there. The free ice cream sounds good, but did I just hear money?
Classic misdirect,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
Our government has done the Friday news dump, those kind of things for decades and everything. So it's not far-fetched necessarily. But I do think that this is one of those ones where I don't know. That seems like an awfully big reach.
I'm very much in the camp of there's a very good likelihood that somewhere in this vast, gigantic universe, there's other intelligent life.
Oh, absolutely.
It would make sense, right?
Yes.
Considering how it happens statistically, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the distance, I mean, how far do you have to go? I mean, like, wow. There's nothing that we can conceive of right now that we can move it, go anywhere at the speed of light. So, I mean, come on now. Yeah.
I think that there are two things there with the subject. You touched on one of them, Seth, that I feel the same way about. Having a statistical, factual, mathematical kind of brain, it makes no sense to me logically that in this galaxy, let alone in the universe, which we have no idea how big it is, that there wouldn't be some other intelligent life out there.
Mm-hmm.
There wouldn't be some thinking, some thought beings out there.
Yeah. Self-aware beings,
It also doesn't seem that far-fetched that if we're able to have that thought, they could have that thought.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have the technology to get to them, they may not have the technology to get to us.
Exactly.
It doesn't seem that hard, big of a reach for any of this stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, though, it is one of those ones that we could have a little more fun with this one. It seemed like people used to have fun
they
with
did.
This.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, well, and why are we always thinking that they're going to come attack us and probe us and things like that? Maybe they just want to come be our friends.
I've been wondering that since I was a little kid. I still believe that the greatest invasion movie or alien movie I'll ever see is The Day the Earth Stood Still. The
original, that's a good one, yep.
Not the new one, the newish one and everything.
Yep.
I never actually even saw that. It's the only Keanu Reeves movie I haven't seen. That movie did was make me question all these things for the first time in my life. Is there intelligent life? What would happen if they came here? And as a little kid, it never made sense to me that they would come here to, quote-unquote, take over or anything like that. What I have kind of liked the storylines where it's not so much they want to take over as they need resources. I think that's kind of an interesting concept, that. It gives us a little bit of an idea of what could happen to our rock. You know, say this alien race, they use up all the water on their planet or something. They're floating around looking for water on planet, not even intelligent life. They're just looking for water.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we could maybe learn from.
Yeah,
you know,
we don't want to
be in that spot.
Right.
But I think it's more almost as a reach here, almost Aesop fable-ish, where it's more, they're almost more of that for us than anything, an example
of
that kind of thing. Until the day actually happens that they touch down. Right?
Honestly, I think it's, for me, it's pure projection.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say
it's
the
one
same
of those
thing.
Things, well, what would we do if we landed on that? And apparently we would invade them.
Exactly.
Which is very kind of discouraging. But
more about us than it does about them.
Absolutely.
It really does.
Because we have nothing to build on here.
No.
It's not as if if we have any real true data to go on.
No, here, exactly.
Like that. It would be funny, though, say this happens, you know, and let's use this in a typical Hollywood kind of movie way, that they touch down in D.C. right in front of the Capitol. Mm-hmm. The president comes out, and they come out of this long tunnel and everything, and they're little green men. Is there going to be a moment where every one of us Americans kind of like look at each other sheepishly, like, oh, geez, I guess we got that one right. I didn't see that coming.
There'd be one giant collective. Huh.
Yeah, exactly. Like, wow.
Wow.
I didn't think we were that close. We see a bunch of animators high-fiving.
Yeah. We got that right.
Yeah. It'd be kind of weird. Be very weird. Or how about this? They show up and they come out of there and they look just like us.
Yeah.
And it's the Spider-Man meme. It's like, oh, what? Wait,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you too?
Yeah.
2 ears, 2 eyes?
Wait. Bro.
It's exciting at first, and then it's kind of a little bit of a letdown, isn't it?
Yeah.
A little bit like, and they're letdown too.
They're very all, disappointed. Yeah. They're like, oh, we thought it'd be different, man.
Maybe there's a little bit of to that cookie cutter thing.
Yeah. They show us their movies, and they make us little green men. Like, that we're all laughing together and having fun.
Wow, we're more alike than we thought.
Take a quick commercial break here. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. The Mornings on WFHR, 9:24 on the clock. Seth, Beth, and James here with you. I wanted to bring this up earlier, and it just hit me during the break there, having a second to think, and I apologize, everybody. I had something happen recently that really was game-changing for me. It really did a number on me. I have wasted the last 11 years of my life, and it kind of just dawned on me and hit me over in the last 24 hours. I've had this happen with my nephews who are little, and yesterday I got to spend some time with a little wonderful, amazing 3-year-old named Quinn, and thank you, Laura, for that and everything. And I was playing with Quinn and this little girl, and I realized that we are wasting our time as adults with improv. Why? Why do we even try? That little girl in 45 minutes had literally 1,000 stories going on. There was so much. We were driving to school. We were taking the kids off. I was a mom. I was a dad. I was a teacher. It's insane. In just a mile a minute. Wasn't even trying. Didn't even try to do this.
Man.
I teach students to do these things, and it's so difficult. Our little kids are fantastic at it.
They don't have all the other things that they have to think about that we do.
I have wasted the last 11 years in learning comedy, learning improv.
Yeah, you can never beat it, man.
We've been doing this all wrong. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually going to propose this to the principal at Second City later this week. I'm going to have a meeting with him, and I'm going to discuss the idea of everybody, all the adults, leaving Second City and just putting children in charge.
Yeah.
Just put little kids in charge of the classes, run the school. They do it better.
That's what we need.
They're just better at it.
You know? We think about adults being mentors to kids. I think kids can be mentors to adults.
Absolutely.
Telling you.
How much have we learned from our own children? I mean, come on.
I still have the one class I teach and everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about this because we take graduates from Second City now. Mm-hmm. And this one gentleman, he is older than me and Brian, my other teacher, and a great guy. But he struggles with coming up with stuff on the fly, mm-hmm. which is obviously difficult in improv.
Right.
But he's
a
really good actor. He's very good once he gets going and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's been struggling. I was thinking about him as I'm watching Quinn, like just nothing coming up with storyline after storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you put any little kid in a writer's room.
Oh yeah,
and you're taken care of.
Like gold.
Yep.
You've got enough stories for the next 3-4 seasons. Little kids are just built different, man.
Like, I mean, what was that you said again, Quinn?
Exactly.
Right, do that for me, okay?
Like in the next couple of months, my star is gonna rise. and you're gonna go, I didn't know James
what
was
happened?
That funny.
Yeah.
And then give it 4 or 5 years, maybe 3, where I have to do like a 2020 interview and I have to confess that all my ideas have come from a 3-year-old.
Yeah,
every one of them. Yep. I just have to own it. I hope that people will forgive me and all this, and I have to give back my awards and all that. Kids are impressive.
Just make sure you thank her in your acceptance speech.
Right.
You're good.
Exactly.
Right. It should cover the bases, right?
There you go. Yeah.
Kids are amazing.
They are.
They are.
this is an amazing story. This is kind of funny. When someone finds a long-lost ring and tracks down the owner, they usually are thrilled. Just could not be happier.
It's very cool, yeah.
We've done many stories like this over the years of somebody with a detector, and they come across the ring, and you know, 30 years ago they lost it when they were on their honeymoon or something like that.
Right.
Love those stories. They never get old. This one's cut different.
Okay.
A few months ago, a man named Steve Andrews discovered a wedding band in the English Channel. He was on the banks and was using a metal detector, which is how most of these stories tend to go.
Right, right.
He had the date... it had the date 1989 on it, and so he started trying to track down the owner of this ring. Mm-hmm. Miraculously, he recently found the woman it belonged to.
Wow.
Okay.
That's pretty darn cool.
That is very cool.
But she didn't want it back. It turns out that she went through a really bad divorce with her ex, and she intentionally threw it into the ocean in spite.
Yep. I don't have anything to get this as far away from me as possible.
Oh, that's rough.
That is rough. Oh, goodness.
Steve said the woman asked him to put it back because she never wanted to see the ring again, and he will. He said the next time he's down in that area, he'll toss the ring back into the channel.
There you go.
Until it's found again. Oh, no.
You know, that could be the basis for a great rom-com. Somebody goes to return a ring, and all of a sudden they fall in love.
Oh, my gosh.
There is a scene in the classic TV show, to me at least, Arrested Development, where the character Job, who is a magician, not a great one, but he's a magician, and he wants to do the dove in his sleeve thing, but the dove, like, suffocates.
Oh, no.
So he wants to send the dove back to nature. And he's not an intelligent guy, okay? He's not a smart guy. He's played by an intelligent person, Will Arnett, who's one of the funnier people under the sun.
Yes, he is.
So he's trying to throw the dove into the water, but it won't go. It just plop, and it just keeps... I'm thinking of this pert guy trying to throw the girl trying to throw the ring into the water, and it just keeps washing back up. Just keeps washing back up.
I tried to get rid of you.
I admire that because I've heard of plenty of these stories, but it usually involves the woman, you know, selling the ring and then using that money. You know, I know one girl who put it towards her her college fund. Her daughter's college fund. I've known other people do. We went out and had a fun weekend in Vegas with it or whatever.
Yeah.
But. I kind of admire this a little bit. Yeah. I kind of, and maybe it was a cheap ring. I don't know.
It could have been.
But I admire that as much as I admire this guy, like, sticking through to it. Like, that's kind of cool that he did that.
Yeah. That he honored that instead of him selling the ring. Because he could have easily sold the ring then and used the money for something.
Yeah, exactly.
So this ain't so much of that ain't right story as an awkward story.
Yes.
It's a somewhat awkward story.
Yeah.
Imagine how excited he is to tell her that he's found this ring. And he's just all jacked. And while you don't try to assume these things, he's got to be thinking, "Oh, she's going to really love this. I'm going to make a stranger's day today."
And then the twist.
Everybody happy.
Then the twist. Yep.
Oh boy.
Welcome to life.
One more time, Beth. Thank you so much for being in with
us
today.
It's been a joy.
I know you got to get going, but we'll see you next week. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks for the time, Seth, and I will be back after Melissa's news right here on Mornings on WFHR. Good choice.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Spooky. In the cool of the evening, when
everything is getting kind of groovy. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR. Hope you're having a great one out there. Seth and James here with you, 9:37 on the clock. I got a couple of fun, weird, random facts for us.
Oh, we love those.
We haven't gotten to do this in a while. This is a segment we got to bring back a little while ago. We're very excited about diving right into these. Vegetables that grow underground, like beets, carrots, and potatoes, should be boiled starting in cold water. Vegetables that grow above ground, like corn, peas, and greens, should be placed in already boiling water.
I actually knew that one.
I'm a little proud. I felt good about knowing that one too. Yeah.
The root vegetables, you always start them in the cold and then raise the heat. Yep.
The famous painting of dogs playing poker is actually called A Friend in Need. It was printed by a guy named Cash Coolidge, Oh, God, is that a good
name?
That's
a great name.
That's a great name.
Can I change my name?
Yeah, I'm going to do it first. Cash Coolidge, who also created those big cardboard cutouts you stick your head through in tourist spots.
Are you kidding me?
How awesome is that?
How do we not know this? This guy's name should be like household.
It should,
big.
Yeah, yeah.
He should be famous, like, man.
I'm not saying it should be as big as Norman Rockwell, no. But it should be like in the same breath
still.
A little bit, like same where. And it's a memorable name, Cash Coolidge.
Let us
remember him on this day going forward, the greatness of Cash Coolidge.
We James, I think we need to, you know, we do the National Day of every day.
Yes.
We need to give Cash Coolidge Day.
Yes.
If there's not one already, we need to start a campaign
to
do a Cash Coolidge Day.
Come on, National Day of People.
Yeah.
Get on this.
Come
and
on.
Give the respect to Cash Coolidge he
deserves.
That's
right.
That is a great name.
Who hasn't done that?
Yeah, really.
Put their head
in
the carpet.
Oh, yeah.
Who has not done that?
Yeah. That's I would have never had any clue. Although, for some reason, it makes sense to me at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, but it seems to add up. I love that painting, by the way, A Friend in Need.
It's a classic,
It really is. It's a good one. A classic TV show we go to next. Matt Groening is the creator of The Simpsons,
mm-hmm.
and he has a son named Homer.
Mm-hmm.
He goes by Will and had the name before the cartoon character.
Yes.
That's it. They don't mention this, though, but Matt's father's name is Homer.
Homer as
so,
well, yes.
He named him after his dad, so.
Yep.
A little bit more. It's still fun, still cool, but maybe not as much.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm still wondering how his family feels about that, because he named all of them except for Bart after members of his family.
Apparently, it was something that they didn't like originally. Mm-hmm. And I might have this wrong, too, but they didn't. They warmed up to.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bart dance happened, or the Bartman.
The Bartman, oh my gosh.
And they went the complete other route, where tired, because it was, man, it was it was hard for even me at a certain point. Because the Simpsons were literally everywhere. It was just all over.
Yes.
It's pretty common knowledge that the first video MTV ever played was Video Killed the Radio Star by the Bungles.
Mm-hmm.
But no one talks about the second video. It was Do you know?
Oh my gosh. I've seen it, because I've actually seen the first hour that they did. It was The Who, wasn't it?
No.
It wasn't The Who.
You Better Run by Pat Benatar.
Oh, that was it.
It was right on you.
Dang it.
I could see it rolling through
your
brain.
The Who was
though.
In that hour. I know they were somewhere in there.
But
I think, it was Pat Benatar. That's right.
And it was a weird Who song that was, too.
Yeah, it was a different one. But I can't remember.
The equal sign was invented by a mathematician in Wales in 1557. Before that, people would actually write out "is equal to" in their equations.
He did the obvious thing. It's like, well, why don't we just shorten this up here? Let's put a symbol here instead.
Yeah.
Come on,
boy. That guy, I'm surprised that guy, we don't know his name.
But
that saved us a lot of time.
He did. So good on him, yes. Equal signs day. Another one we should have.
I didn't realize that we were going to be getting those out of this, but we've got a couple already. Definitely those need to be incorporated.
Well, think about it. Every single math symbol like that, the plus sign, subtract, those all had to be invented at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of boggles your mind when you think of how ubiquitous it is now. I mean, it's everywhere. All this stuff, it's like... Well, someone had to come up with that at some point.
Yeah.
And that's like, whoa, okay.
It's a little like when you think about where the animals, who named all these things and stuff like that.
Yes.
And stuff. It's like, one of my favorite ones, Greenland and Iceland. You know, how they're mislabeled. Well, not really, but the Vikings and all that, the story goes.
The story goes, the legend,
The legend goes,
Not sure if that's true, but you know.
Yeah, it's interesting. I always think these are interesting, too. You hear, especially the way I talk, I use idioms every other sentence,
pretty much.
And I love the history of these things and where they come from. Another one we haven't gotten to do in a while, so I thought Seth is in. Let's go ahead and go through some idioms.
All right. That was very fun.
I always have fun with this. It could be a real dog and pony show. Dog and pony show. Where does that come from? Why do we even say that? Who has ever actually seen a dog and pony show?
That's an excellent question.
The term is believed to have originated in the late 19th century to describe traveling circuses that featured performing dogs and ponies and toured rural areas across the United States. The term also is known as a road show.
Oh, dog and pony show. Well, I did not know that, and now that is going into the memory banks
that's
forever.
An interesting one.
So I can bore someone with it later.
That's exactly what these are good
yeah,
for.
Yeah, exactly.
especially if you're in a conversation you don't want to be in, this is a great way to get
turn
out of
them
it.
Off. Yeah.
You know, do you ever know where Dog and Pony Show came from? Yeah. And as you see them slowly start to fall asleep,
just totally random. So just bring it up out of nowhere too,
and you'll be able to get out of that conversation scot free. That's the next one, scot-free. The phrase scot-free means that something or someone is completely free from penalty or harm.
Mm.
The expression scot-free originates from the Scandinavian word skat, which means tax or payment. The word mutated into scot as the name of redistributive taxation meant to provide relief to the poor during the 10th century.
Oh, wow.
Someone who did not have to pay the tax for some reason was referred to as scot-free.
Wow, that's really old. That's from way back.
That is crazy.
That's crazy. Who knew?
I thought it had to do with scotch tape. I'm joking. I did not actually think that. Although I wouldn't shock anybody
I probably thought it was the old, you know, because there's that old prejudice against Scottish people that they were
cheap.
Yes,
yes.
And I thought maybe that had something to do with it, but no, I'm glad to find out that is not that. Good.
Yeah, we're you know, this is how we learn the ropes. This is how we learn this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And learning the ropes. How about that one? Where did that come from? Learning the ropes means to learn how to do something. Not surprisingly, the origin of this idiom, learn the ropes, is nautical. Before the days of ships powered by steam or fossil fuel, almost all ships had sails. New recruits had to learn how to tie knots and manipulate the ropes that moved the sails to capture the wind most effectively. This series of lessons was learning the ropes.
Literally learning the rope, how to do the knots, yes, on the rigging. Wow, that's cool.
I have to say I did that one a little in particular. Today is the Navy's birthday
and
stuff.
That's right.
Not technically its birthday, but the one we gave it. But yes, a big shout out to all of our Navy members.
I should ask my dad if he ever had to do that. Of course, he was on a submarine. They're not known for having to need ropes on a submarine. So, yeah.
Not the same thing.
Not really.
But, thinking of your dad and all that, that really hit the nail on the head right there.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
The
phrase hit the nail on the head refers to doing or saying something that is precisely right.
Okay.
The origin of this idiom is carpentry. Mm-hmm. Although no one is certain when it was first used. This analogy is a wonderfully straightforward one. Missing the nail when hammering is imprecise and can cause damage to the surface beneath the hammer.
Or your thumb.
Right. Hitting the nail on the head leads to the desired result.
Exactly. That one's pretty straightforward, and I like that one, but that one makes a lot of sense, too.
I got two more, and the ball is in your court on this one. That's a good one. The ball is in your court. That's one I think most of us have used.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It means that it is someone else's turn to make a move.
Yep.
While it is obvious the idiom, the ball is in your court, comes from the world of sports, mm-hmm. scholars differ on whether it comes from the tennis field or basketball. Whichever sport field it comes from, it is relatively a new idiom mm-hmm. and was probably used for the first time in the 20th century.
Well, of course, because those are the two sports played on what's called a court.
Mm-hmm.
Two very different courts, I'd like to add, though, because of for obvious reasons. Why is one played outside and one inside, though?
Yeah, yeah.
I know they do play tennis inside, too, but...
Traditionally,
outdoor event, yeah. And basketball's not, so...
It's an interesting one.
Yeah.
It also made me think of something else that I hadn't thought of before, especially in doing these segments, but I don't think I've ever even thought of it. Are we making new idioms?
Oh, yes. I mean, sure we are.
It seems like we are. It's hard for me to grab, that's a new one. That's a new one.
Right, know? Right.
As far as new ones go, it's probably more like this, where it's in the 20th, early 21st century, mm-hmm. maybe, that they came about. It doesn't seem like we're making new ones, really.
I think they're out. We probably just aren't thinking of right now, but I'm sure that there are ones that are out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're on the same page on that.
Side. Yes. On the same page?
On the same page.
Ah!
Means to be thinking in a similar fashion, to have the same amount of knowledge, or to have the same kind of understanding about a situation as others do.
Right.
Though the origin of the idiom on the same page is sometimes attributed to a choir singing, when all singers needed to be on the same page,
right.
It is much more likely that the term can be attributed to classes and business meetings when copies of a single item are used by all members.
There you go.
And that all need to be reading from the same page in order to understand what is being discussed.
What is going on, right? This page intentionally left blank.
that's a pretty interesting thing right there.
That is pretty good.
Like that.
And I love the idea that there's all this ambiguity around it. You know, yeah. A lot of these, because we don't know where they started or anything like that. I have a quick detour here. I learned something new for my children. You know, kids are always coming up with not necessarily idioms, but new ways of saying things. I was playing a video game the other day, and it's a game I've played a lot, you know, and so I'm pretty good at it. And my kids were watching me, and they're like, "Man, you're cracking." And I'm like, "What?
What?
I'm cracking?" It's like, "Yeah, you're really cracking right now." And I'm like, "Okay, I don't think I've heard that one before." And so they explained it. They said, "Well, it's like, you know, if you are a good at something, you are a crack player or something that, you know,
someone
who's really good at something."
Yeah.
So they have shortened it and made it a verb. You're cracking when you're really good at something.
I like it.
That's pretty clever. I think that's pretty good. So.
And now we've ruined it.
Yeah.
Now adults have talked about it, so now it's no longer cool.
Yeah, they're going to push it to the side now.
They're going to have to come up with a new one.
Yeah, they got to do it.
Oh, that's good. I like that. We'll take a break. We'll come back and get into some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. Plenty more coming up for you on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, 9:51 on the clock. Seth and I are going to take you to the top of the hour, where at 10:06, we're going to kick off Morning Magazine for the day. In part one, we're going to welcome in Brian from True Grace. This is an interview that Family Natural Food set up for us.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to, we've talked to our friends at True Grace before. Looking forward to Brian joining us. It's going to be a really fun conversation. And then in part two, Laura Huber and Jasmine Carbajal are going to join us, the 4-H program educator, and Jasmine works over at 4-H. A lot of great 4-H events coming up. We want to touch on all those.
Yes, yes.
Also, wanted to get to this right here. Interesting story. And this may be better if you're a TikToker, if you use TikTok, but you don't necessarily need to, especially if you know somebody that uses TikTok. Chances are they'll show you the videos.
They will.
If you haven't carved your jack-o'-lantern, you should watch this clip. It's the Do's and Don'ts of Pumpkin Carving by a 73-year-old TikToker named Barbara Babs Costello.
Oh, my gosh. First of all, awesome name. Yeah. Babs Costello. Yes. Oh, that is awesome.
It's a great name.
That's a great,
great
name.
And 73 and making TikToks
and all that. Right? Love it, man. Yeah.
It's basic stuff like hold it in your lap and carve from the bottom. But she also recommends using a hand mixer to loosen up the guts inside and design the face with a dry, erasable red marker because it's easy to wipe off when you're done.
Oh, wow.
And you should rub Vaseline on the top cut open cut surfaces to make the pumpkin stay moist and last longer.
Wow, those are three things I never knew.
Boom, boom, boom. Like,
wow.
Didn't know any of those, and every one of them I'll do from now on.
That hand mixer one, that is just brilliant.
Great idea.
Totally going to do that this year.
It's brilliant. It's a great idea. I really like that.
That's all great, very good ideas. Wow. Thanks, Babs.
The red marker thing is pretty cool, but I'm curious about the Vaseline thing. I really want to try. The only thing I don't like about jack-o'-lanterns is, for me, they die too quick.
Yeah, they rot and look weird after a while.
I like the idea. Maybe it will last longer, apparently.
Yeah.
That is very cool, and I'm with you, Seth. Shout out to Babs.
Babs is awesome.
Babs,
way to go.
Cool. Nicely done, Babs.
Yeah.
And let's see here. We get our That Ain't Right story of the day. Our feature That Ain't Right story of the
day.
It is, it's really dumb to mess with a radio station or its staff. We've got ways to get word out, you know. I mean, it's kind of what we do.
Don't mess with us, man.
No. I mean, look at what we have at our fingertips here and everything.
Broadcasting. It's broadcasting, okay?
Especially with us here. I mean, we're AM, FM.
We can hit anything. We're online, podcast, and we got it all.
Everything. Some guy broke into a radio station in Billings, Montana last Friday night and stole their branded SUV with the station's logos printed on it in bright pink letters. Obviously, I mean, horrible, wrong. You don't steal from people, all that stuff.
Right.
But what are you doing stealing? Why don't you just steal the Wienermobile while you're at it? You know?
A police car, you know, something like that.
I mean, I understand that criminals don't tend to be smart. Crime is an immoral act.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I get
dumb. Yeah.
But, I mean, come on, man. I mean, come on. It's a brand new Kia Sportage that recently got the Mix 97.1 in huge letters on the side. I didn't even know people were still doing that, but that's cool.
That's great.
More power to him and everything. He got inside their office because an elevator that should have blocked access to the front door malfunctioned.
Oh, okay.
A woman in a small town 20 miles away called the cops when she saw him in her church parking lot kicking the tires and acting suspicious. Thanks to the
kicking the tires.
What, this guy's acting like he's testing it out or something. Like, thanks to the paint job, she was pretty sure where the vehicle came from. Luckily, the cops found him at the scene before he caused any damage. He did smoke inside the vehicle, though, so he's facing multiple felony charges for obviously not just breaking and entering, but for that, smoking in the vehicle even.
Yes. Wow.
That's sad.
That's very sad.
But I mean, it is a feature that I write story for a reason.
Yes,
though.
I have to say I fully endorse laughing at this person.
Yes,
because they deserve it. I mean, seriously,
100%.
You deserve being laughed at for that.
We have a bunch of good stories the day we want to get to. I want to touch on a couple of local things first, and we're so excited about this giveaway, Seth.
We are.
This is so awesome.
This is one of those great things. It's been in the works for a while. Trust me, this has been in the works for a long time. Yeah. But we are going to be giving away the New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway, two tickets to the January 1st game, Lambeau Field, between the Packers and the Vikings. Club tickets there for that. It is super exciting. We cannot wait to give these away. Listeners can register at Dropbox locations for their chance to win. One name will be drawn from each location. Those individuals will receive a $50 gift card from that business and will become qualifiers for the Green Bay giveaway. Qualifiers will be placed into a hat, and one final winner will be selected. Right now, we have four locations where you can drop in your name. Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria and Jennings here in Wisconsin Rapids, and then the Piggly Wiggly in Nakusa. We're trying to get coverage as far in our listening area as we can. But stay tuned. Hopefully, we'll have a few more places signing up for this. We'll have more boxes out there that you can register at. Registration will close November 28th. The winner will be announced on the 30th. One registration per person per location.
Thank you for reading that, Seth. That's such a fun promotion. Mm-hmm. This is going to be great. I was talking about it earlier today. It's almost guaranteed to be a good game. Certainly, it doesn't matter with the records when you got rivals like that.
No.
But, I mean, right now, neck and neck in the division for first place, fighting for first place. Mm-hmm. They're fighting for a playoff spot, a guaranteed playoff spot with this, too, because whoever comes in second in the division isn't guaranteed a playoff spot.
Nope.
Not with the way the East is looking this year and stuff. This is going to be a
implications on this one, everybody. So it's going to be a great game. But plus, you get to go to Lambeau.
You get to go to Lambeau
in January.
Club seats.
I know. I mean, I'm telling you, this is a great thing.
And we're still taking sponsors and people that want to host these drop boxes or anything like that.
Let's get the word out.
424-1300. Give us a call and we'll get you in touch with the best sales staff in the business and Steph Schmidt and all that.
Before November 3rd, that's the cutoff for that. So we want to make sure to mention that.
Yeah. I also want you guys to mark your calendars. I know it's a little bit away, but I want to get this in people's heads. And for you guys to keep up on this, we're doing it again, everybody. WFHR Radiothon with the United Way.
Yes.
November 16th, 7 to 10:30. This will go on during the morning show. It'll go a little bit into Morning Magazine. I believe the mayor, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer, will be our guest that day on Morning Magazine.
Yep.
So that's going to be fun.
Excellent.
This is a great event. We feel so fortunate to have the connection we do with our United Way.
We do.
And to help with these kind of things. So this is a fun one.
Yep.
Donations can be announced on the air if you like when you make them. You want to call 715-421-0390 to make your donations, and then we'll announce them on the air if you like.
Nice.
Also got a special deal here for businesses. Make a minimum donation of $500, and WFHR will match your donation in advertising. That's for new advertisements and
that's
stuff.
How cool is that?
I mean, really cool
wow,
event.
Great stuff.
We're so excited about this.
If it's okay, James, I'd like to mention a local good story of the day from yesterday. Mm-hmm. I want to give a big shout out to the Wood County Health Department. They had a vaccine clinic for COVID-19 and for flu vaccines. It was really great. It was the old East Junior High School in there. There were a lot of people there. My family and I went. It was great. They had a great setup there. Lots of great information. Other partners, the 4-H was there, of course, and other great organizations. They did a great job. I just want to give them the credit that they deserve because they do such
great work over at the health department.
Any chance to shout out to the Wood County Health Department, wish them a good morning, and we got their back. We're thinking of you guys. Mm-hmm. Well, lastly, I want to mention the Neighborhood Table. They provide to-go meals every Thursday from 4:30 to 5:30 at 411 Garfield Street in Wisconsin Rapids. They got a limited number of meals available, so you want to get your reservation in by noon today. That is the cutoff. If you don't have internet access, you can go to the neighborhoodtable.org to make it. Mm-hmm. Neighborhoodtable.org. If you don't have internet access, give them a call at 422-1980. Be sure to let them know how many meals you need, the time you'll pick it up, and certainly say thank you.
Absolutely.
Appreciate our friends at the Neighborhood Table and everybody under the Focus umbrella. Seth, thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Not a problem. It was always fun.
We'll have Terry Johns in studio tomorrow. We'll get you ready for your weekend and have a bunch of fun here on Mornings on WFHR. Be good to each other, everybody. Stick around for Morning Magazine.